This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I appreciate all of you joining me and all the comments and emails that I've garnered throughout the last week and even really throughout this year. It's been a busy year, and right now it really feels like we are just in the middle, hopefully the tail end, of this choppy, almost schizophrenic market when we look across the board. But I think that's because there is so much uncertainty out there, and uncertainty seems to be a term that's used more and more, even by the Fed chairman, Jerome Powell. In this weekend show, we are going to be focusing a lot on resource investing, as well as trying to make sense of the big picture through all of this volatility. I'm kicking off the show with Matt Geiger. He is the managing partner at MJG Capital. Matt runs a fund that is very much focused on the resource sector and a lot of the upstream plays when it comes to exploration, more so even some of the juniors. So Matt, before we get into some of the nuances within the fund, let's talk about the recent relationship between precious metals, or gold more specifically, and the U.S. dollar. We've seen quite the inverse correlation when it's come to the dollar and gold. I know a lot of people are looking at other markets and saying, well, what about this relationship to gold? I think as long as we're looking at the U.S. dollar, you get a pretty good idea of what gold is doing on more a day-to-day basis. Matt, give us a thought on why you think we are seeing this inverse correlation really take hold for the precious metals.
Firstly, Corey, it's great to be back on the program here, and happy Canadian Thanksgiving to you. I will preface this answer by saying that, you know, as an investor, I'm very much a bottom-up investor. And so the vast majority of my time is spent on individual security analysis and picking stories that make sense, provide upside, provide value, really regardless of the macro environment. That said, you know, I think it's important for all of us to have a sense of where we are roughly in the cycle and how things are progressing. And it's true. One thing that's really stood out to me, in recent months here is the shift we've seen, in the relationship, of gold in the U.S. dollar. As I'm sure you and many of your listeners remember, in 2019, for mostly the entire year, both gold and the U.S. dollar, rose in tandem. And we saw gold break through that key, you know, 1375 technical level in spring of 2019 and continue to progress, much higher throughout the year with the backdrop of a strengthening U.S. Dollar. I'd say historically, that's a little bit of an anomaly, for those two asset classes to progress side by side. And it's really flipped on its head in 2020. So just over the past 90 days, gold has had a negative 0.93, correlation to the U.S. dollar. So basically an inverse correlation. That's more of the traditional relationship that you'll see. But just as recently as Q4 2019, that was a positive 0.74. So we've really gone from gold and the U.S. dollar rate rising in tandem to a relationship where they're bipolar opposites. What does this mean? I try not to draw too, you know, broad conclusions from asset correlations. After all, they can reverse and these relationships never stay consistent. But if we hold with this negative or inverse relationship for the time being, I think that's telling us that precious metals are more likely to move in tandem with the rest of the commodity spectrum, including the rest of the metals. The rest of the commodity spectrum has had a long-standing negative correlation with the U.S. dollar, and that was also the case back in 2019. So I think for better or for worse for the time being, this tells us that the precious metals kind of period of outperformance over some of these other metals is over, at least temporarily, and they're going to trade more in tandem in the coming months. But this is something to watch, and of course, this correlation can always reverse, just like it did between 2019 and 2020.
Yeah, I think that's a key distinction or a key point, is that these correlations, especially the inverse correlation between precious metals and the U.S. dollar, it's not a guarantee. It very much comes and goes depending on the attitude of investors. And that's something that I think we need to address, is that when the dollar and gold were heading up together, there seemed to be a lot of fear in the market, which it's not like there isn't fear in the market right now, but gold has more almost tied itself to moves in, let's say, the broad markets rather than to any certain fear. If the markets sell off, then there seems to be almost a short-term rush for cash and gold gets sold off. When the markets are doing well, gold does seem to stabilize a bit better. Do you think that this fear trade that did help to drive gold, that it has dissipated even though we still have so many question marks around the world?
Yeah, well, I think I've mentioned this on a previous interview with you, Corey, but it's still jarring to me, kind of the shift in investor sentiment that we've seen from, you know, today, early in Q4 compared to where we were in March and April. It's really night and day. And, you know, from people in my network and, you know, friends and family, I get the sense that there's a lot more fear of FOMO, fear of missing out, than there is fear of losing capital. And, I'm not a general market prognosticator. I think we're due for another pullback here. I think the rally we've seen in the broad markets, out of the March, April bottom, has been overdone, frankly. But that doesn't mean that it can't continue for some time here. So ultimately, I think investors, focus on gold and silver, need to do what they should have been doing from the beginning, just focusing on high quality names. Make sure to align themselves with management teams that are well incentivized and working on a project within their core competency, and keep some excess liquidity on the side that will give investors courage to buy, you know, if/when there are sell-offs in the months ahead.
Let's talk about companies, but more specifically, management teams. You said you align yourself with management teams that are well incentivized. I think we really need a distinction in that. You don't necessarily mean management teams that are just paid well. It's management teams that are riding the story with investors. How do you balance that out?
Certainly. So some of the more granular factors, of course, everybody says you want to invest with good management teams that are aligned with shareholders. Quite cliche. What does that actually mean? I mean, I think there's at least 6 or 7 different factors that you can look at to draw a distinction here. The first is the most basic. It's just skin in the game. How much of the company do they own? Obviously, for a production stage company or a multi-billion-dollar royalty company, you're not going to see management in the 10-plus range, just due to dilution and the size of the company over time. But for some of these early stage juniors, it's really important for me to see double digit skin in the game amongst the board and the management team. So you want to just look at how much of the overall company do they own? If this ends up being a big success, are they going to make a fortune from their equity interest? Second would be looking at management's average cost basis. You know, is this team averaged in at a share price that is roughly equal to where the shares are trading now? That's a good sign. Are they averaged in at a price above where the shares are currently trading? That's an even better sign. Or, you know, have they invested at a share price much lower than where we are today? And maybe the current share price, we're seeing a 5 or 10x uplift on management's average cost per share. That's not nearly as attractive of a proposition. You want to be able to make money alongside the management teams you choose to back, not just make them rich by coming in at extreme valuations after the fact. Another thing to look at would be the nature of their ownership. There's quite a few ways to procure control of a given company. I would say the best thing to see is open market buying. That's probably the very best signal.
All right, Matt, unfortunately we're out of time for this first segment, but I appreciate your comments, and I'm bringing you on next segment, so everyone stick around. I'm going to be right back with Matt Geiger.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not. But you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life Crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life Crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
You're
weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to chat with Matt Geiger, Managing Partner at MJG Capital. Now, Matt, let's switch focus to some of the investments that you are looking at when it comes to the MJG Fund. You and I were chatting off mic, and you made the comment that you are not so much looking at precious metals investments right now. You're looking outside of just gold and silver stocks and companies. Explain why, please.
Well, I don't want to alarm your listeners. I'm not trying to call a heroic top here in the precious metal cycle at all. Quite the contrary. I think we're likely in kind of the fourth or fifth inning here. And, you know, it's very hard to know how long this gold cycle will last. Whether you view it as having started in spring of 2019 upon the breakout above 1375, or whether you view it going back to Jan of 2016. Either way, it's been a pretty sustained move upwards. And, I think if you just look at allocations of generalist investors, like your average U.S. Family office still has less than 1% of their assets exposed to precious metals. So I think there's still room to run. The reason why we've taken really a moratorium on new gold and silver focused positions just comes down to portfolio construction. So it just comes down to our specific circumstances. The MJG fund at this point is 75%, close to 80% weighted towards gold and silver. That's higher than we've ever been. You know, just 3.5-4 years ago, we were sub 20% to give some context. And that's been a combination of some extreme outperformance among some of our gold and silver focused investments, along with, you know, quite a few investments into, you know, good stories that were focused on these specific metals over the past 18 months. I mean, the fact is that close to 50% of juniors, at least on the TSXV, will say 40-45%. Are focused on gold and silver at the moment. So there's a lot of junk out there, to put it mildly, but there's also a few high quality opportunities. You know, that said, I think we're pretty well set. The MJG fund will never be a full precious metals fund. I want to keep the mandate a little bit broader to resources generally. And as such, you know, we're more than happy sticking with our existing investments, and I plan to do so. Stick with the horses that I know well. And, sell them off piecemeal, you know, if the company wavers from the game plan and or the share price, you know, rises, too far above, expected value. But in terms of new investments and bringing new names into the portfolio, we're really going to look elsewhere in the commodity complex, and whether that's nickel or copper or uranium, you know, ag minerals, agriculture itself, that really just depends on the opportunity.
Where are you leaning right now when it comes to some of these other resources and other minerals?
Right. So again, I will never initiate a position just based off of the target metal. That's far too easy. You know, both of us know that in this space, you have to assume the vast majority of companies are entirely uninvestable. And so I will never say, oh, I'm just going to buy five, you know, uranium companies because I'm bullish on uranium right now. That's not the way it works. I will sometimes say I will pass on good opportunities because we're too exposed to this metal or we're too exposed to this jurisdiction. So, you know, I really don't want to make you think that I'm chasing specific metals. I'm really looking at things on an opportunity, you know, by opportunity basis. You know, that said, if there's a few metals that I'm more positively inclined to right now, it would be the metals that have to do with the electrification and EV revolution that we're still undergoing here. So the copper, you know, the nickel of the world. And then, you know, I've been a uranium bull for some time. I think our weighted uranium exposure right now is close to 6% of the overall portfolio. So I'd like to get that closer to double digits going into year end.
Very interesting there, Matt. Thanks for sharing. Let's also talk about royalty companies. There's been quite a few new royalty companies that have entered the sector. Royalty companies broadly have been doing very well. We've even seen some other royalty companies not focused on the precious metals like a large amount of royalty companies are. They're focused a little bit more on some of the electrification plays or EV metals, all these different aspects of royalty plays. What are you viewing in royalty companies right now?
Sure. Well, the royalty business model is one that's very, very near and dear to my heart. We actually only own one producing miner in the portfolio at the moment. And throughout the fund's history, the vast majority of our cash flowing positions have been royalty names that, that use the royalty business model. And I think it's just a better way to expose yourself to the mining sector with less risk of dilution and while still maintaining that, that discovery optionality. That said, as you've well observed, and you know, I think some of your listeners might be recognizing this as well, particularly in the junior space, the precious metal royalty sector is becoming very, very crowded. And that creates trouble for both the new companies and the incumbents for a couple reasons. First, you know, each of these deals that are being competed for, there's more and more parties coming to the table and tabling bids. So I would say any competitive process that's being run for a given royalty, it's very likely that the party that ultimately wins will be paying too high of a price. And that's called the winner's curse in auction parlance. You know, the second issue is also competing for investor attention. At the end of the day, royalty business model is really about your weighted average cost of capital. The better these companies' share prices can perform going forward, they can lower their cost of capital, you know, gain an edge over their competitors. But if there's, you know, 40 to 50 junior gold and silver royalty co's clamoring for investor attention, you know, by necessity, investor dollars are going to be spread more thinly. So we do have a few, you know, pre-existing investments that I consider junior gold and silver royalty investments. You know, one of which that comes immediately to mind is Golden Valley Mines. You know, EMX royalty is another one, though they have a healthy amount of copper exposure as well. So we're going to stick with the names that we know, but I'm less bullish on these new gold and silver royalty plays coming to market. That said, I do think there's opportunities that do abound within the natural resource sphere that have to do with the royalty business model. The first is looking at the diversified royalty codes, and there's really only a couple of these guys, you know, the Anglo-Pacifics and the Altius Minerals of the world. These are large, diversified, royalty companies that receive their cash flow from, metals and materials, basically everything but gold and silver. And because they don't have that sex appeal, at least in this current market, as receiving royalties on gold and silver assets, their multiples are markedly lower than their peers in the precious metal space. So I think that's a place to look. I think you could make an argument that if anything, these diversified royalty codes should be receiving similar multiples to their precious metal peers. And I think you could even make the argument that they should be receiving higher cash flow multiples to their precious metal peers, because generally these base metal assets are much longer life than your average 10, 15, 20 year gold mine.
All right, Matt, we're going to wrap it up there. Great conversation. Very interesting hearing what you are now focused on. Matt, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time on this weekend show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend, and hey, we'll chat again in another probably month or so.
Excellent. Thanks, Corey. It's been fun.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
There's nothing worse than thinking that your Medicare benefits are going to cover routine medical expenses like vision, dental, and prescription benefits, only to find that when an emergency arises, your Medicare plan is full of gaps that don't even begin to cover your medical emergency. How would it feel to have to go into debt because your Medicare program didn't cover everything 100%? Studies show that 95% of Medicare recipients pay more than $5,000 per year on out-of-pocket medical expenses. At SnapMedicare.com, we understand how important it is for you to be prepared for any type of medical emergency. All it takes is a quick phone call to 800-286-5516 to find out exactly where you stand with your Medicare coverage and to save thousands on future costs. Call 800-286-5516 to make sure your Medicare plan includes provisions to cover any gap in coverage. Whether you have questions about Part A or Part B Medicare coverage, remember, call 800-286-5516. SnapMedicare.com. Call 800-286-5516.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Democrats want an apology from Georgia Senator David Perdue. the Republican was speaking at a Trump rally in Macon, Georgia, as he was speaking against a possible Democratic takeover of power when he mocked California Senator Kamala Harris's name.
The most insidious thing that Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden are trying to perpetrate, and Barney and Elizabeth and Kamala, I don't know. Whatever.
Harris is also the first woman of color to be on a major party's national ticket. She is of black and Asian parentage. Purdue stands accused of sounding a racist dog whistle. He's up for re-election this year, and his Democratic challenger, John Ossoff, called him out on Twitter. He said, quote, "We are so much better than this." In a second tweet, Ossoff said Purdue never would have done that to a male colleague or a white colleague. This is USA Radio News. Employees at some tech giants stare voters too, but where are they sending their money? USA Radio's Val Dior has a look at that.
Facebook and Twitter employees have sent more than 90% of political donations to Democrats so far in 2020. That amount includes all federal donations from Facebook and Twitter employees this year based on records available through OpenSecrets.org, a research group that tracks money in politics by the nonprofit Center for Responsive Politics. An analysis from the conservative watchdog group Media Research Center found the employees at both tech giants contributed millions in individual donations and in political action committee or PAC donations. For USA Radio News, I'm Val Dior.
Jacinda Ardern and the liberal-leaning Labour Party are cruising to re-election in New Zealand. With most of the votes counted, Ardern is well on her way to a second term as Prime Minister, and the Labour Party a clear majority in Parliament. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments where we did, again, focus a lot on the resource sector. In this next segment, we're sticking to the resource sector, more focused on the exploration plays, as I am chatting with Steve Todorook. He is a geologist and an investment executive over at Sprott Global. I do need to note that we cannot mention the active stocks right now just due to compliance issues, but we still can speak broadly about the sector. I want to talk about an area play that has really heated up here. That's Atlantic Canada, more specifically in Newfoundland. We have a lot of new companies in the area. We have a couple companies drilling. There's just a lot of activity that's going on in the area. We've only seen a handful of drill results. Give me your overview, your thoughts of this new play in Atlantic Canada and Newfoundland.
Okay, thanks for having me again, Corey. I guess I sort of have a saying I keep telling to myself over and over again is keep things simple before you complicate them. Back in the late 1990s, when I was president running my own junior mining companies, I did a deal with Barrick Gold on some properties, gold properties that they'd inherited when they took over LAC Minerals down in southern Argentina. And I got along pretty good with the head exploration guy there, and I said, Alex, any chance I could see if you have any properties you might be prepared to let me take a look at, anywhere in the world? And he said, well, what about these ones down in southern Argentina? And I said, sure, I'll look at them. And I did, and I couldn't believe the results. And I kept asking myself, why is Barrett going to let me do this deal to acquire these things? And I think they did because there was no big gold mines down there. You know, i.e. the best place to look for a new gold deposit is right near a big mine or known deposits. So for whatever reason in Atlantic Canada, there really hasn't been any big world-class mines there, gold mines, or even known big gold deposits that are what I call high quality, meaning good grade. There is a junior drilling right now, and they've got a multi-million ounce deposit, but I don't think it's high quality, you know, high enough grade that it's going to attract one of the big gold miners to go in there and take more. You might see a smaller gold miner do it, but that's not the kind of stock I want to be involved in or have my clients. And then obviously, I think it was about a year ago, one of the Australian gold miners came up and took over Atlantic Gold. You know, it's a good mine, especially at $1,900 gold, but I want to try and get my clients into the juniors that have what I think are going to be, you know, tier one deposits that we've got a chance in Newmont or Barrick, you know, coming after us type of thing. So the other thing that I need is to see, you know, I'm obviously focused on new discovery plays. So to keep getting new discoveries, I need as many juniors out there as possible drilling holes, trying to, you know, make that next significant discovery. So just because there isn't big gold deposits in Newfoundland right now or Atlantic Canada, doesn't mean there won't be one. We've certainly got world-class deposits and mines back there like Voisey Bay and the big iron ore deposits. So we know that part of the world can serve up, you know, world-class deposits. But I'm not going to try and guess which little junior out there drilling right now might make that discovery. I'll sit back and wait and see if somebody announces it, and then I'll get involved.
Okay, fair enough. But it has to be encouraging, though, that Atlantic Gold takeover and some of the more established juniors in that area have been able to build up some decent resources. Again, maybe nothing world-class as of right now, but there are also a lot of little mines that are operating in the area and that are profitable. Does that not entice you at least a little bit that maybe if a bigger player came in and did actually find some maybe higher grade or just a generally bigger resource that it could lead to more discovery in the area and potentially more bigger deposits being found?
Small miners don't get me excited at all. I mean, at $1,900 gold, you could probably, you know, management team can probably operate it profitably. Hopefully they'll use some of that profit to do exploration drilling, and that's, again, you know, a source of funding for that ongoing drilling to see if they can make a big discovery one day. But rule of thumb, I don't like to get involved in small companies that are, say, mining, you know, say 50,000 or 20,000 ounces of gold a year. That just doesn't do anything for me.
Now, you mentioned something earlier there, Steve, about majors potentially offloading some of their non-core assets. You were referring back to when you were running public companies. But right now, a lot of people are still waiting for some of these majors, especially the consolidation that we had of some of the biggest majors in the sector, to start offloading some of their non-core assets. How closely will you be watching the transactions that come out of these majors?
Well, you can't miss them. You know, when the majors dispose of a property, you know, you can't miss them. Everybody's reporting them because you've got so many people following the Newmonts and Barricks of the world. You just have to go back to, I think it was 2014-ish, when I think it was Barrick and Goldfields, maybe one other company, you know, when they were all going through their financial crisis, they were selling their non-core assets, i.e. their smaller, you know, maybe not tier one mines. And at least a couple of the Australian companies, and I think they were pretty well brand new startups, they were able to successfully acquire those deposits, and they are now mid-tier miners type of thing, and stocks have been tremendous success stories type of thing. So, and I got involved in those companies, and still I'm a pretty big shareholder in those companies. So certainly, if a deposit is deemed to be too small for a Newmont or a Barrick, that could be a great fit for a smaller company. So I want to definitely follow those because I may well like the whole fit and get involved in them.
Yeah, I'm paying attention to that as well, but it has been slow seeing these majors offload some of their non-core assets. But that's just the market that we're in, and fair enough, it's not, let's say, priority for these majors, at least right now.
No, it's not. It's at the bottom of their list of things to do, especially with gold up at 1900. They might change their minds. You know, they announced they were going to sell those, you know, in a different world, down at $1,100 gold type of thing. Well, at $1,900, they're in no rush to do it. And the price of those assets, you know, those sales is probably skyrocketed, you know. And so, you know, I'm certainly hearing, you know, there's a number of juniors that are out looking for good projects, but the price of real estate went through the roof.
Steve, how closely are you watching all these shares that are coming free trading in the market? There were so many financings done 2, 3, 4, 5 months ago that a lot of shares are hitting the market. What's your outlook for how these shares are digested and how you play certain stocks when you hold these stocks?
I think the big concern is going to be shares, you know, 4 months hold and then they've got warrants attached to them type of thing. If a company can't work through, though, that selling, there's going to be some problems undoubtedly, at least for a while the market absorbs that selling type of thing. Somebody's got to buy it. That doesn't tend to affect the type of stocks I'm in, discovery plays type of thing. Discovery plays are out drilling holes, you know, continuously. They're putting out drill results every, you know, say 3 to 5 weeks. And if they're good, the stock usually goes up. So if some of those companies happen to be in that situation, they could chew through and absorb that selling quite easily. Because if the news is positive, the stock goes up, there's people that want to buy those shares type of thing. So that helps. But if you've done a private placement and the 4 months is up and you're not drilling, there's no news coming out, you can expect, you know, some selling pressure. And I don't think the stocks will tank because they've theoretically raised a good amount of money. You know, that should put some kind of a floor in there, but it's not really affecting me, but I'm sure the market's going to feel that somewhat.
Yeah, and it's most important, as you said, to pay attention to companies that actually have drill programs underway and should have some news that can support some of these shares that come free trading. Final comment here, Steve, is offering again to take a look at any of your portfolios or address any of the questions that you might have on stocks that you are holding. And you can reach out to Steve at sprotglobal.com. I will also post that link in the weekend show posting. If any of you have an issue getting through to Steve, please just email me directly, fleck@kereport.com, and I will pass that email along. Steve, it's great chatting with you as always. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, Corey.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame. He owed money to the IRS and they finally caught up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world. That bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000-plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. That's 866-657-8517.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. As I spent the first three segments focused more on the resource sector, especially driving down into some of the junior stocks, I want to take a step back and wrap up this first hour with more broad comments, trying to make sense of some of the market moves and also understanding some of the news events that I think some of the larger institutions are getting positioned for. I'm chatting with Mark Chandler. He's a managing partner over at Bannockburn Global Forex. And Mark, there are three main issues that we're going to talk about here that are more longer term issues and I think have a bit more impact in a longer term sense on broad markets. First things first, let's talk about the U.S. equity markets and the S&P. Following up on our conversation last Friday, you were outlining gap theory, and what gap theory says is you sell the, I believe it's the fourth gap in a row, and that's exactly what we had on Monday. The U.S. markets, the S&P, were consistently putting in daily gaps at the end of the last week, and then on Monday, we had that fourth gap in a row, and a true to form, the markets actually started to sell off, not aggressively, but just a little bit on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. They filled a lot of those gaps, and on Friday, curiously enough, we had a little gap higher. Now, Mark, give us a little summary of what this means for the overall outlook in your eyes for U.S. markets.
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, I think that it really played out as gap theory would have suggested. And gap theory, it really works in markets in which the are limited in time. These markets, like the looking at, like, say, the NASDAQ futures or the S&P futures, these trading almost 24 hours a day, so you don't really see the gaps. But traditionally, and in like classic technical analysis, these gaps are important. And so what's happened now then is that, as you mentioned, we've come down, filled a couple of the gaps. And as we did, we found some support on Thursday at about a 50% retracement level of this month's gains. As we, when we gap back higher on Friday, what bothers me is that we have to think about what kind of gap that is. And I suspect it's going to be what's called a normal gap, which means it's filled relatively soon, which could mean as early as Monday. So that's what I would be looking to do. I think that the strong recovery on Thursday, gap high opening on Friday, you should look for that top of that gap, excuse me, the bottom of the gap now comes in, at around 34.89. So that's where I'd be looking to buy. And you can have, I think that a tight stop is warranted because if it should hold that area. If it doesn't, it probably means we're in for a deeper pushback. So I like the stocks, and I think that what's driving the stocks is really the idea that one way or the other, the U.S. is going to get fiscal stimulus, and that interest rates stay low for a prolonged period of time, and so investors have little alternative to take some risk and buy equities.
So this is just the continued story of investors really not having anywhere else to put their money, there being a lot of money in the system, and U.S. markets continuing to look bullish?
Well, I'd say yes. There has been a recent study at one of the Federal Reserve, I believe it was the St. Louis Fed, who think that an explanation for the stock market is coming from people essentially discounting dividends in the future, which to try to understand why the growth stocks have done so much better than the value stocks. The Fed study makes the market seem more rational, if you will, if you assume that some of these tech giants are going to eventually pay sizable dividends, and that that's what people are really trying to buy, is discounting the future earnings stream.
But we've seen a recovery in some of these lagging sectors too. This recent bounce back in the markets haven't been just tech focused. So what does that mean?
Yeah, no, exactly. This is what the Federal Reserve points out, I think in their paper. It is the focus on, to try to understand this gap, this apparent gap between Main Street and Wall Street, is to focus on the income stream that's anticipated by investors, looking at things like dividend futures, in effect.
All right. Let's also talk about this second point. You even alluded to it there on one of your first answers, is the U.S. budget and the potential, almost the guarantee, really, of a fiscal package coming. But that fiscal package just continues to get delayed, and who knows when we're going to get it. It's definitely going to come after the election, at least that's what I think. But we also don't know the timing of that. But you look at the potential fiscal package and some of the rising yields that we've seen, especially in the U.S. How do you balance out these two factors?
Yeah, so we do see a rise in U.S. yields. So even though we pulled back a little bit this week, 4 or 5 basis points in our 10-year, yields are still at the upper end of say, a 4 or 5 month trading range, really. I think people are looking at the U.S. deficit. And here's the amazing thing, I think, is we just reported at the end of last week a record budget deficit in the U.S. And you look at the IMF's projections, economist projections for next year, and the U.S., without the congressional package, we're still looking at, say, an 8% budget deficit next year. And if you look at the IMF data, like this forecast for growth, the U.S. economy will only grow about 3.1%. I say only because after this year, you'd expect a stronger rebound. And most other countries, except Japan, in terms of the G7 countries, are going to grow faster than the United States, according to the IMF. So I do think that there's this interesting issue happening with U.S. interest rates rising, and Europe has been very effective in talking their rates down. Not only talking their rates down, but by buying more bonds. And what's happened is that the net result of the backing up of U.S. bonds and the decline in European bonds and Australia bonds, that the interest rate differential has moved in the U.S.'s favor. And I'm watching this very closely. I tend to put a lot of weight on that in my understanding of the currency markets. And the dollar, as you know, firmed a bit this week as these rates have moved to a couple-month high, these rate differentials. So it's just worth paying attention to in the coming period of U.S. rates, again, relative to Europe and Australia.
So, Mark, is this a good thing that countries or even Europe broadly has been able to talk their rates lower?
I think that the challenge is that Europe has been hit for this second COVID surge that is, on a per capita basis, overtaken the United States. And this is going to hit their economies. And we'll see this possibly next week when we get the preliminary purchasing managers index for the month of October, And these new lockdowns, I think, is hitting an economy that already had lost some momentum. And so in some ways, this is a desired effect of having lower European interest rates to help their economies. And I just think the net effect of it is that you've got this a bit of a divergence. And it's a bit of a contest. Of course, the U.S. wants to keep its rates down as well, judging from what the Federal Reserve says. So I think this is just an interesting flashpoint and something just to keep an eye on going forward.
Mark, does this mean that the bond market is almost broken in a sense? If yields aren't rising because governments are capping them, if we're issuing 0% yielding bonds and there's that much demand for them, how does that all play into the big picture of what bond markets are usually used for investors?
Yeah, I think two things that come to mind. One is that people aren't buying these zero coupon bonds for the yield, obviously. They're buying them because they anticipate capital appreciation. One thing, I don't know if broken was the right way to think about it, but I do think that the game has changed where bonds are not so much bought for the yield, but bought for capital appreciation. And what I was saying before about that, about the Federal Reserve paper, they're talking about buying stocks for the yield, for the dividend. So it's like almost this bizarro kind of world. But the other thing that your question poses, I think, is, are people getting paid for the risk that they're taking? And you don't really see that so much maybe in the sovereign bond market, especially in your sovereign bond market. But I think when you look at corporate bonds and the quality of corporate bonds and the spreads between them and sovereigns, I think there's a real question that should be raised about if are you really getting paid for that extra risk you're taking?
All right, Mark, we're going to wrap it up there. I really appreciate you taking the time and sharing, the three main aspects that you are watching when it comes to the markets, all that technical trading. That was important to note this week. And also this fiscal package, what it might look like. Those are two major factors that investors need to understand. Mark, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking time on this weekend show. Everybody else, thank you for tuning in. Please keep all the emails coming. Please listen to all the daily editorials I post during the week. And also, please keep sending me your questions on all the companies that I'm bringing on the show. Mark, everyone, have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you. Good luck, everybody.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Attention business owners, body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.